It's good to be here. Good to see you. And I'm so glad for the privilege of just coming and sharing now from God's Word on this low Sunday. I've often wondered why it's called Low Sunday. Karen explained it a little bit earlier on. But we all have, I guess all of us have days that are not high. We have low days. And we're no different from those early followers of Jesus. Easter day. They hadn't a clue what was going on. I mean, they were totally bewildered about the events that had taken place on Good Friday. Seeing their Lord and their Master hung there on a cross. And dying. Oh yeah, he was dead. The Romans were good professional executioners. And so as the day went on, that Good Friday, when the commander of the troop of Roman soldiers said, "Come on, boys, let's finish this off quickly." Normally what would happen is that the soldiers would take a mallet or some other device, and they would break the legs of the people hanging on the cross so that they'd got no purchase to lift themselves up anymore. They would suffocate. And the soldier said, he's already gone. They knew he was dead. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, two secret followers of Jesus, said, "Can we take the body down? Give it a decent burial before the start of the Sabbath." Sabbath started at 6 o'clock on the Friday evening. And Pilate, the Roman governor, allowed them to do that. So they took the body down and they placed it in the tomb that was actually reserved for Joseph of Arimathea. He gave up his own grave, as it were, to house the body of Jesus. Mind you, it was only for the weekend. But the followers of Jesus had watched, some of them from a distance. Can you imagine being there in the crowd? Standing there. Oh, yeah, there's Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, other members of the family. I know, John, the disciple. Can you see them standing, watching with unbelief? How could this possibly happen? And some of them followed as Joseph and as Nicodemus take the body and place it into this new grave, this new tomb. And then it was Sabbath. Nothing happens on the Jewish Sabbath. At least there's a limit to what is done. And they were hiding away. They had retreated into themselves, as you do when you've been bereaved. You kind of back up into your own thoughts and think of the memories. Think of the good times. Think of the failures. What if I had done this? What if I had said that? What if... These are all human emotions that I guess most of us, if not all of us, have experienced. It was over. All over. But then after the Sabbath, Some of the women decide to go to the tomb. But they're faced with some problems, some difficulties that they've got to overcome. First of all, there were Roman guards posted outside the tomb to stop anyone getting near it. And then there was that rock, that stone that was rolled in front of the entrance. Heavy, maybe too heavy to move. But you know the story of Easter Day. Just a week ago, we celebrated that. Easter Day, and the women come, and they've got these, they're maybe talking to each other. How are we going to get past the guard? How are we going to move the stone? And when they get there, no guard. The rock has been moved. No body. And they're faced with another perplexing experience. What's happened? Who has taken the body away? Where is it? How can we get to where it is? And But then, there are two angels appear. Two people in bright, shining garb, they're there. And they say to the women, I love this. They say to the women, why are you looking for someone who's alive among the dead? You're in the wrong place. You're looking for somebody who's living at the home of the dead. And the women are shocked, are shaken, and they go and they run into the city to find some of the other followers. You know the story. It was last week. And Simon Peter and John run to check out the women's story. They can't believe it. Oh, the women can hardly believe it either anyway. And Jesus is alive. He's with them. For how long? They don't know. And so from that high day of drama, Easter Day, the Lord is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. And then comes Monday, Tuesday. Where is he? Is he coming back to be with us forever? Can you imagine the range of emotions? The loss? The sense of unbelief? Many of us, most of us, have these experiences in our own human lives. When we lose a loved one. And that week, some of the followers of Jesus, on the Sunday, they left Jerusalem. Luke records their story, a couple, and they're heading away from Jerusalem, downhill. Jerusalem is at the top of the hill. And they're making their way home, down the hill. Almost something kind of symbolic about that as well. They were going downhill. Luke says their faces were downcast. That's a kind of old-fashioned word, isn't it? There are times when I'm walking through the village or in the country and I'm downcast, looking at the ground, at the pathway ahead of me, if there is one. I did that this week. Thursday. Been 3 years since my son died, my eldest son. It was a tough day. Downcast. Oh, I know resurrection. I know the story of life. Sometimes, you know, us preachers or church leaders, we might give the impression that we've got everything sorted, everything perfect. No. Thursday was a tough day. And for my friends in the story in Luke's gospel, they are leaving Jerusalem. Oh, they've heard from the women that Jesus had been seen alive, but somehow it didn't fit. It didn't make sense. And so they're leaving. They're going home to Emmaus, 7 miles away. Some of the feelings, discouraged. All that they had hoped for has ended. Maybe they're feeling disillusioned. Let's go back to what we know, to the security of our home, our village. Let's leave all this behind. There's no point anymore. I wonder if that was sort of in their mind. And when the women said, he's alive, that's just too hard to believe. You can almost hear the sighs as they walk away down the hill, downcast, and they're heading away from the pain, away from the sadness. You remember the story that Luke tells as they were walking away and talking to each other about what had happened, a stranger comes to walk beside them. He comes along and says, what are you talking about? What's in your heart? What's on your mind? Share it with me. Tell me. And they kind of pause and say, well, are you a stranger around these parts? Don't you know what's been happening back there? And of course, this person who is walking with them knows exactly what happened back there. He was at the very heart of it. And he comes and he talks to them as they walk the 7 miles out to Emmaus. And he explains to them that in the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, his story is there. The events that they'd seen on Good Friday, the news that they'd heard that morning is there in the books of Moses. It's there in the preachings of the prophets, Isaiah, Haggai, Jeremiah, and all the others. He's there. He's there in the songs or the psalms. And Jesus explains to them, oh, wouldn't you love to have been walking with them to hear what he was saying about himself and how his story is written in the Old Testament scriptures? He's there. And what happened on Easter weekend was part of his story, history. And he opens up the Word of God to them. And they find in what he's saying, what he's explaining, encouragement and hope. Something stirs within them. They want to hear more. The afternoon is moving onwards and it's heading towards evening. sunset. And they say, come, stay with us. We want to hear more. Explain more. And he goes in to stay with them. And as the honored guest, he breaks the bread and says a prayer of blessing on the food. And as he breaks the bread and gives it to them, they recognize him. It's him. He's here with us in our home. Jesus is alive. The scene changes. The scene changes. Although it's now after sunset, they want to go back and tell others what they've seen, what they've heard from Jesus as he opened up the Word of God to them, pointing out his story, the revelation of love and mercy and grace and sacrifice. And they grab their coats, they get their sandals on, and off they head back the 7 miles. They had been dragging their feet down the hill and along the road. Now, they're jogging as fast as they can. They're heading back because they've got news to share. And I love this bit of the story. They get to Jerusalem, they find the others, and they're about to say, we've seen the Lord. When somebody in the room says, the Lord's been here, we've seen. Oh, we've just come to tell you that. But you imagine, I'm sure you can imagine, because these were ordinary human beings. This, we think, husband and wife. And the emotions that they went through, the feelings that they had. But they weren't alone. Karen read for us earlier in the service John's record of a meeting when Jesus appeared to his followers in Jerusalem. He appeared to them and said, it's me. Hey, it's me. And they were afraid. It was a bit spooky. Suddenly, Jesus appears in the room, an upstairs locked room. And suddenly, he's there. And they back off. You can see. They're not quite sure what this is, who this is, what it might be. And maybe they even cry out in shock. Are you with them? Can you see? And Jesus says, don't be afraid. And that makes them even more afraid because this apparition, this thing talks. He speaks to them. And they're even more scared. And he says, it's me, look. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones. Have you got anything to eat? I'm a bit peckish. And they give him a piece of fish, cooked fish. And they begin to understand, at least in some measure, that it's Jesus, that he's back with them. And so from a period of feeling low and down, these followers are now excited. They can't get enough. Can you see them reaching forward? Can I touch? Can I touch you? Can I hold your hand? Lord, can I give you a hug? Will you hug me? And they were excited and thrilled because the Lord had appeared among them. He was alive. What the women had said earlier was true. We've seen the Lord. But these were human beings, and yeah, they'd gone through this turmoil. They still do. And then Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas. I'm not sure he was a doubter, really. There is a theory or a story that Thomas grew up in a family of boat builders. His parents or his father was a boat builder on Galilee. And Thomas grew up learning the trade. And his father would emphasize to him, when you measure things up, Thomas, double check. Measure it again. And before you stick it into place or nail it into place or fit it into place, measure it again. Make sure. Don't take anybody else's word for it, Thomas. His father drilled this into him. Make sure that you know that what you're doing is right. Make sure that you've got the measurements. Make sure that you can see the product that we are making. Because if this boat that we're building goes onto Lake Galilee and you haven't got the measurements right, it's going to sink or it's going to be in trouble. Thomas, make sure. Make sure. And when the followers of Jesus say, Thomas, we've seen the Lord, he's been here. Thomas says, I want to be sure. I want to prove for myself that he's alive. I want to be certain that it is the Lord. And Karen read earlier from John's Gospel how a few days later, a week later, the Lord appears to the followers, his followers again, and this time Thomas is there. Thomas had declared, unless I see the nail prints. In the Aramaic language, I discovered just the other day when reading this story again, in the Aramaic language, the phrase that he used, nail prints, can actually be translated the blossom of the nails. Unless I see the blossom of the nails in his hand. The nails that were used in crucifixion had got a rather soft head. So when the mallet struck the nail, the soft head spread out to hold the body on the cross. Thomas says, I want to see the blossom of the nails. The kind of lovely picture of... We normally think of blossom as... Well, I've been looking at some of the blossom around on the trees. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it light with a foretaste of fruitfulness? And Thomas says, I want to see the blossom. The blossom of the nails. And Jesus comes and says to Thomas, come on then. Look at where the nails have been. See the mark, the blossom. Put your finger in there. Put your hand where the spear pierced my side. Thomas doesn't need any more assurance. You are my Lord. You are my God. He's reassured by the presence of Jesus and by the words of Jesus. And on this low Sunday, we come from a variety of home and personal circumstances. It maybe you had to force yourself to be here this morning. Maybe you don't feel like worshiping. Maybe there are issues in your head, in your heart right now, and You can't quite reconcile stuff. It doesn't make sense. Let me remind you of these two stories. When Jesus came alongside the couple on the way to Emmaus, he opened up the scriptures. God's word brings light. God's word brings encouragement. Oh, it brings challenge too. May I encourage you to take a fresh read at the story of Jesus? How he came and lived among us as a human being, just like us. And particularly how he came alive to be with those he loved, to help them through the fog of bereavement, of understanding, help them to understand. And then when he sees Thomas and he says, "Come close, Thomas. Look at what I've done for you. Thomas, look at me." It's been an eventful week, I guess, hasn't it? One way and another. Who would have thought that from last Sunday until today, there would be an incredible focus on God during this week, on God's word, sung and spoken, relating to the death of Pope Francis. How incredible. God's word has been broadcast on radio, television, and in the news media. Oh, Lord, will you take your word? Will you bring fruit from the presentation of your word? I was listening to Radio 2 the other day, the start of a program on Radio 2, and it began with, "Blessed is the name of the Lord," a song. It comes from the musical Godspell. But the programmers for Radio 2 think, well, in this week when the Pope has died, we'll put in some religious stuff. "Blessed is the name of the Lord, who lives forever, who is with us now." God's word on the airwaves and on television. So many people quoting scripture. "I am resurrection and life, says the Lord. Whoever believes in me, even though they die, that they will live." When you watch the news, when you listen to it all, will you pray for fruitfulness? Pray that God's word will have some results in the lives of those who listen. Oh, and one more thing. Well, there might be more than one more, but there's one more thing. There's actually more than that, more than one. One of the things that I've read recently, just in this past week, Pope Francis, I think he appears to have been a lovely man, a follower of Jesus. He learned 7 words from his grandmother. 7 words from his grandmother that became the foundation of his life. The 7 words: "Jesus, make my heart more like yours." What a prayer. "Jesus, make my heart more like yours." And I've quoted to you before a chorus that I learned in Sunday school. "To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like him. Jesus, make my heart more like yours. Another thing, another quote from Pope Francis. He was speaking on a verse in the book of the Revelation, words of Jesus spoken to a group of local churches. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and we'll have supper together." The Pope, he kind of misquoted it a little bit. He said, sometimes Jesus comes knocking on our heart's doors and says, "Are you coming out? Are you coming out with me? Will you come with me into my world?" I remember the words of Jesus. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." He invites us to bring our lows to him. Come to me. But the same Jesus who said, "Come to me," also said, "You go to your world. Make disciples there." He wants us to be agents for good news. And I will finish now. I've got two aunties. I finished with the story. I had two aunties. My Aunt Meg, well, they were really my father's aunties. Aunt Meg and Aunt Emma. They were sisters, but there was a bit of competitiveness between them. Aunt Meg bought a paper shop, a little shop in a village near my hometown in Ayrshire, in Kilmarnock, Ayrshire. Aunt Meg bought this paper shop. And a few months, maybe 18 months later, Aunt Emma bought a shop, more or less across the road from Aunt Meg. And Aunt Emma said, "I'm not going to open up a paper shop. I'm going to be a news agent." Jesus calls us to be news agents. We sang earlier on, "I will proclaim." We need to do a bit more proclaiming. We do. To be agents for good news. The newspapers, the media this week have been full of the news of the death of the Pope. But they've also been full of the good news of God's word, of God's truth about resurrection, about life, about hope for the future. And not just within the Roman Catholic Church, but for everyone. The Apostle Paul wrote to Christians in Rome, and he said, how will they hear unless somebody goes and tells them? The people that don't come to church, how will they hear unless someone goes and tells them? Hey, don't just run a paper shop. Be news agents. Hey, like my Auntie Emma. Yeah. News agents. That's what God calls us to be. Agents for truth, for good, and for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. On this low Sunday, Lord, we recognize that life doesn't always go smoothly for us. There are challenges that we face. There are problems that don't seem to have a clear answer or a reasonable answer. Will you help us to trust in your word? Help us to understand what you mean when you say, "You've come to give us life in all its completeness." When you promise a future for all of us, and for our loved ones too, on this low Sunday. Thank you that you've come to be among us, and by your Spirit, you seek to lift our spirits towards yourself. Come, people of risen King, from whatever background, whatever experience is ours right now, may we follow the King and proclaim his power and his glory and his work of salvation for everyone in our world. And Lord, sometimes, you know, speaking about you can sometimes be difficult or maybe even embarrassing for some of us. Will you help us to be agents for your message, agents of your love, agents who bring a message of hope to people around us. Bless my friends here today. Watch over them. Guide us, direct us, go with us, go ahead of us, and help us to keep following. Thank you. Amen.